This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Dinner with some friends on Monday evening, and I was not expecting that they were going to have their son with them. And by son, I mean adult son. So grown son, single son. I don't know if it was a fix-up or not. I can't quite tell because my friends did not let on at all. But they're some older friends of mine that I know from my church, and they invited me over to dinner, and lo and behold, there was their son joining us for dinner. Now, I had heard about their son, but I had not met him before, and so this was an opportunity. They even seated us next to each other at dinner. Does that sound like a fix-up to you? Sound like a setup? Anyway, he was great. We enjoyed talking, and we talked about work a little bit, at mine and his. And as it turns out, he drives for a living. And so we got into a conversation about road rage. And I'm not sure if it's a great first impression, but I did have to cop to the fact that I frequently get road rage. Thankfully, he also gets road rage. And so whether or not it made a good first impression, I do not know. This is, if they were attempting to set me up, it was kind of a mean trick because I went over there thinking it was just this really kind of cash dinner. And so I had no makeup on, which I don't typically wear makeup anyway when I'm just hanging out with friends. No makeup on. My hair was up in a ponytail. I was wearing shorts and a tank top and I guess a pair of earrings, but that was really it. Pair of flip-flops. So I'm sure I made a great first impression. Anyway, we at least connected over road rage. Oh, and I brought dessert. Berry crisp with ice cream, and he really liked it. He had 2 helpings, so maybe that's good. So I guess maybe that erases the road rage first impression. But producer James, do you think that this was a setup? You're a guy. If you were in that situation and it was your parents and they invited someone over for dinner and asked you to be part of it, would you feel like it was a setup?
Yeah, I mean, the way you're describing it, it sounds absolutely like it was a setup.
And
absolutely.
Yet they didn't let on. There wasn't any of that like awkward smiling or the winking or, hey, what do you think of Joe? Like afterwards. So I don't know if it was unintentional or intentional. But the two of them, I mean, they deserve an Emmy if, in fact, this was a setup and neither one of them. They just acted like it was perfectly normal.
Maybe, like, it didn't start off that way, but then they're like, oh, wait, you know, we can kind of play this into, we got something here.
Maybe. Potentially. So, anyway, it was fun. I didn't have any issues with it. I enjoyed talking to him. I just, in the back of my mind, wondered. And then you wonder, does he think it's a setup? Or did they tell him that he had to come to dinner? So, you know, this is what happens to me when I start to analyze things. I always overanalyze. It's my blessing and my curse. It makes me good at my job, but, you know, it can drive you a little nutso. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. This hour, Simone Biles back in the gymnastics competition, the last event in Tokyo for the women. She will compete on the balance beam. I've seen multiple photos of her warming up. In fact, one in which she was 2 feet above the beam and upside down. I've also seen people tweeting from inside the venue where the balance beam finals will take place. NBC ran a video of her walking in with Suni Lee. and their coaches. And so she is there. She is getting ready to compete. It does not start for another, I think, half hour, roughly, maybe 40 minutes. So we're going to give you the spoiler alert condition. Like, hey, if you don't want to hear this, then you better turn off the radio or plug your ears and go, la, 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 la. And that's very annoying, but you can do it wherever you are. And we're going to pass it along because that's part of my job. Is I don't like to be usurped when it's breaking news and it's happening while I'm on the radio. I don't like someone else to steal it from me. And so I will pass on what I know. But both she and Suni Lee are scheduled to compete in the balance beam finals. There are only 8 women. And so they have a great opportunity to medal. And my prayer for her, my hope for her, is that she has peace, that she both mentally and physically is locked in, because it can be dangerous when you're flying around on this balance beam that's, what, 3 inches wide? I can't get over it. I actually thought about it. If I'm Simone Biles, and I'm not, but if I'm Simone Biles, I might feel more comfortable on floor exercise than on balance beam if I'm just coming off a case of the twisties and feeling like I was getting disoriented in the air. So we'll see. Fingers crossed for her. I just want her to have fun. I want her to be full of joy. I want her to be reminded that she loves gymnastics and that this is what she has worked her entire life for. When she competes at the level that she is accustomed to and when she competes at the level that she is capable of, there is no one better in the world. Not on this apparatus, not on any apparatus. But of course, she's not coming into this with a completely clean slate. There's already so much water under the bridge, so to speak, even in Tokyo. I want for her to be able to put all that behind her, or at least in the back of her mind, so that it does not affect her as she competes on balance beam. But I'm nervous. I'll be honest. I'm a little nervous for her. I want it to go so well, and we're not going to be able to see it. We, meaning James and I, because we're not going to pull it up on an app or a website while we're here on the air. There's only so much we can do. And so we'll see it on Twitter. We'll know what happens. And I will offer you a loud spoiler alert before I share anything because I don't want to ruin it for you all. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need an expert to help navigate the home loan process, Rocket can. So you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. And then our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. I will readily admit I've already blocked some of you for using inappropriate words and language in response to our Tom Brady question. There's no need for that. First of all, there's no reason to hate the guy. If you are really honest with yourself, you're envious either of Brady himself or the fact that he has won so many Super Bowls with either the Patriots and now the Buccaneers. You could admit that you sports hate him, which is pure jealousy. When you boil right down to the very base of what hate is, haters in sports, it's almost entirely jealousy. Either you wish you had what that athlete had, or you wish he was on your team and he's beaten your team so many times that you don't even want to see or hear his name. So for those of you who are in that space, well, you know, I guess the show is not for you because Tuesday is Tom Brady's birthday. But let's be honest, even if you're a Jets fan, and I just know this from producer Dave. Even if you're a Jets fan, or you're a Bills fan, or you're a Dolphins fan, and you've run into him over and over and over again, even if he's beaten your team so many times that it's painful, what reason do you have to despise him? If you believe he's a cheater, well, you know he served his 4-game suspension. And we also know that there are many a quarterback who have tinkered with the footballs. I still, and I will never, ever, ever do a show about Deflategate again, but he did serve his suspension. You can't honestly think the man cheats in every single game he's ever played. That's ludicrous. It's completely asinine. And I still don't know that he cheated in that situation, but I do know that Roger Goodell was determined to make an example of him. And if you destroy your phone, well, then you lose the benefit of the doubt. So maybe he did. Maybe he didn't. I do think it's humorous that the two equipment guys just disappeared off the face of the earth. I forgot. One of them was John Dostremski. I forgot the other one's name. They just kind of, poof, disappeared into thin air. The whole thing is ridiculous. Comical, but ridiculous. So if you're out there calling Tom Brady names, vulgar names, seriously, you need to ask yourself, why and how petty are you? It's football. You don't know the guy. And mostly, you just wish that he would stop beating your team to a pulpit. No, to a pulp, but pulpit is what came out. Because I'm weird sometimes. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. Not sure if you saw the world record in the men's 400-meter hurdles. The runner from Great Britain, pretty amazing to see his reaction. He did one of those rip his jersey as he saw the world record post on the big screen in the stadium. That was awesome to watch. I love the moments of pure euphoria. And I also can appreciate the moments of dejection and failure, because I do believe our failures, if they don't defeat us completely, if we get back up, they make us better as people, as friends, as family members, as athletes, whatever it is that we do. Failure deepens our character and certainly adds another level of motivation if we don't give up. So failure is good for us. It's the greatest teacher. There is no shortcut to being great at anything. And failure is a natural part of that process. And these athletes have all experienced it. Every athlete does. And that emotion can be so raw that sometimes it's just as compelling as the euphoria. All right, so on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and then also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We're going to do a little baseball this hour. And also more from Nick Foles, just because the man is going to attack a third string quarterback job in the NFL like no third string quarterback ever has. And we're going to get to your responses about Tom Brady. Other than GOAT, what's the first word that comes to mind when I say Tom Brady? Let's talk to Alan, who's in Toronto. Welcome to After Hours.
The one word that comes to my mind is Mississippi, as in Old Man River just keeps rolling along, because this was his second best year ever at the advanced age of 43. You know, his best year ever was in 2007 when they went 16-0 undefeated. I'm talking statistically wise. It was the best year ever. So just absolutely fantastic. And I've been imploring him to go out this year, because go out a winner, because in 1998, John Elway went out at age of 38. He's a winner. And in 2014, Peyton Manning went out at the age of 39. He's a winner, and they're living happily ever after. And you can go out now and live happily ever after, too, because I think he has a target on his back next year. Because, you know, if I'm a defensive lineman, I'm gonna really concentrate on sacking him every minute, you know. And
well, that's the strategy always, though. I don't think that's new. And yes, he's older, so maybe he's less mobile. But let's be honest, Tom Brady has cinder blocks for feet, really, most of the time. I mean, his entire longevity is based on not getting hit, Alan. And so, yeah, every team would like to get to him. But it's one thing to game plan that way. It's an entirely another to actually make it happen, because he's so good at getting rid of the football. I mean, that's again, that is what he's made a living on, getting rid of the football quickly and not getting hit.
And you mentioned David Tyree and Nick Foles. I'd like to mention Malcolm Butler, because they had the defeat at the jaws of victory. You know, that it was just unbelievable. Pete Carroll has egg and cream pie all over his face, and they were very, very lucky to win that game. You know, 26 seconds left, and around the 1-yard line, they just should have ran it over and could have held him, and they would have defeated him. So he's a very lucky man to be winning.
Yeah, see, I don't agree with luck. I mean, I understand what you're saying, but I don't agree with luck. First of all, they put themselves in position to win. Second of all, if you remember, Malcolm Butler said he knew exactly what was going to happen. He was a rookie in that game, and when he made after he made the interception, the game was over. He said he was prepared. He knew that set, and he knew exactly what to anticipate and when to step in because they had prepared for that whole play on the goal line. So I don't consider it luck. I think it's preparation, and that's coaching.
Yeah, but he made the wrong call, though. It was a travesty that Pete Carroll made the wrong call, as far as I'm concerned. He could have walked right in, you know.
Maybe. And we'll never know.
Yeah, and hopefully he wins another one, and then he retires.
Hopefully.
His wife wants him to retire at 45. Hopefully.
Interesting.
You know, there's a good chance because they're keeping the exact same team. So, you know, there's a good chance that he'll win another one. But
you said hopefully. So are you rooting for him to win another one?
Yes, I am.
Oh, okay.
Yes. But I just wish that he wouldn't. I just wish he would walk out right now, though. You know, I'm a big fan of his. I've been a big fan for a long time of his.
All right. Good to hear, Alan. Thank you so much for your phone call. I appreciate it.
Looking forward to the season. Okay, thank you very much.
Yes, me too. We're inside of 6 weeks, actually, before the season kicks off on a Thursday. So many of your comments on Facebook and Twitter that I seriously can't keep up. But I'm going to share a few of them on our Facebook page. And then we'll get to Twitter as well. So A-Law Radio on Twitter. Some of you, I'm going to share the funny ones, the original ones, because they actually are causing me to crack up. Todd says Eli. The one word that comes to mind, as though it was Eli Manning all by himself that beat Tom Brady. Why not David Tyree? But Todd says Eli. All right, so the Giants 2-0 against the Patriots in the Super Bowls with Eli Manning as quarterback. Robert on Facebook says tantrum, I guess. And there was a report that Brady freaked out on the offense and threw his helmet, that he was cussing out his guys. And we know he's intense. I mean, he's a very high standard. If you don't meet it, then you will draw the wrath of one Tom Brady. So tantrum is what Robert posts on our Facebook page. Kevin goes with haters. let's see. Jim Winner. Don says Tuck, as in Tuck Rule. Bill is one of the few who's going with cheater. Rick on Facebook says awesome. Susie goes with pretty. What? I mean, I'm a girl too, but I've never once thought Tom Brady was pretty. That's so funny. Terry goes with arrogant. Well, he certainly has been that way in this offseason with some of the interviews that he's done. Wowzers, it's the side of Tom Brady that you don't often see or hear. Keith says diva, which I don't think is the case. I think Tom Brady's the opposite of diva. If you think about diva, you think some of the wide receivers, right? Like Odell Beckham Jr., he's totally a diva. I mean, just think about some of the wideouts that you know have all these like crazy rules for themselves, and also they're very high maintenance. Tom Brady is one of the guys. He's not high maintenance. Guys love to play with Tom Brady. Yes, he wins, but also because he's one of the guys. That's one of the features that we've heard from so many of his teammates, that he really doesn't act like he's better than anybody else. He has a very high standard, and he expects you to meet it, but he sets the example. He leads by example, not just by what he says. So I don't think diva fits. Some of you are going with Deflategate. Guy on Facebook goes with commitment. Ryan says, go blue, a nod to his Michigan background. Many of you are saying Giselle, although some of you, the majority of you could not spell Giselle. Not even close. Why don't you Google it? Let's see. Jonathan says leader. I'm trying to think where some of the other original ones. JT says sellout. I guess I don't really get that, but if I were trying to interpret that, I would say he's a Patriots fan who believes that Tom Brady took the money and ran to the Buccaneers. But Patriots had plenty of opportunity to pay him the commensurate rate for quarterback. He took home down discounts for years to stay in New England. Let's be honest about it. Sturdy on Facebook goes with LFG. That is something that Tom Brady likes to post on his social media. Joshua, as a Boston native, he'll forever be the GOAT. So I'm going to say longevity, HBD to the GOAT. Thomas says lame, which is kind of funny. I don't know what that means. Dean goes with Thorn if you're a Bills fan. Mary says great. Dustin goes with terrific, which does fit with the alliteration of Tom. So we're asking you, other than GOAT, because that would be way too easy and I would be inundated with GOATs, what is the first word that comes to mind when I say Tom Brady? Because Tuesday is, in fact, his birthday. So happy 44th. To one of the greatest to ever wear a football uniform. 855-212-4227. We'll get to your tweets and back to your Facebook posts as well. I'm having to monitor Facebook very closely. Simone Biles getting set to compete in the balance beam finals at Tokyo. So we will see her again. I'm nervous. I don't know if you're nervous, but I'm anxiously monitoring Twitter for any type of report coming out of the gymnastics venue. Thanks for joining us on what is quickly morphing into a Tuesday morning for most of us. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast. Call Amy at 855-212-4CBS.
The U.S. men's basketball team is through to the semifinals. That just happened a couple hours ago. So taking out Spain. Spain led for most of the first half. And I've now seen some posts from the Spanish basketball Twitter account, which gave me a good chance to practice my Spanish. But photos of Marc Gasol and Pau Gasol and the basketballer Baloncesto Familia. And it was a good comeback. It was a good second half for the Americans, who are now into the semis, joining Slovenia. Slovenia is also into the semis with Luka Doncic spearheading their attack. So we're getting down to the nitty-gritty in the team sports in the Olympics as we get through this second week. There's still so many track and field events to come, though, even as we're seeing some of them play out at the stadium in Tokyo, which has a lot of people in it. Have you noticed? There's a lot of people in that stadium. They may not be fans, but they are the contingents from various countries around the world. And because track and field requires so many athletes in all the different events, there are a lot of people in the stadium. So I'm glad it's not silent, not to mention media from all over the world. It definitely isn't the atmosphere that I was expecting when they announced that there would be no fans. They're not selling tickets. It's not this raucous crowd, but none of these venues have been empty because they are allowing delegations, they're allowing teams, they're allowing coaches, not just team coaches, but individual coaches. The media is all over the place. And so there really have been plenty of people there to kind of create some noise, even though it's not quite the same. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Simone Biles and Suni Lee will very soon compete in the balance beam finals. That's coming up within the next 30 minutes. There are only 8 women, so they'll definitely be done before we get off the air. And I will promise you a spoiler alert before I tell you what's happened. In the meantime, Tuesday is Tom Brady's birthday. He's 44 years old, so don't you worry. He's not stepping away until he's 45 or he sucks, in his words. And so he's very much engaged with the Buccaneers for year number 2. And as one of our listeners pointed out on Facebook, he is reportedly threw a temper tantrum on Monday because the offense wasn't operating, didn't get it right. And it's more about effort and it's more about the dedication that it is about guys making mistakes, dropping a ball. That's not what he gets angry at. He gets angry when people don't meet his standard, which is very high. But what did Bruce Arians tell us? It took one guy to change the culture in Tampa. And now look, they are Super Bowl champions again. So other than GOAT, what is the first word or phrase that comes to mind when I say Tom Brady? You're going to miss him when he's gone. Just trust me, it won't be the same. As James was saying, well, I'll let James say it. So in your experience as a football fan, as a sports fan, you were saying that Tom Brady is all you've ever known.
Right, yes. You know, since about, 2000, 2001, since I've been a football fan. You know, I was 10 years old, 8 years old. All I've ever seen is Tom Brady in the Super Bowl. I don't know a world where Tom Brady isn't in the Super Bowl every year.
So, or at least competing for the Super Bowl.
Right, or at least competing for the Super Bowl. It's crazy.
21 seasons, 10 Super Bowl appearances. That's obscene. No one does that. No one will ever do it again, I'm quite confident. Now, Patrick Mahomes, there's a lot of potential there. But it's not as though the Patriots just snap their fingers every year. It also took a Hall of Fame coach, one of the best ever. So the two of them together, it's a track record that has set such a high standard that maybe we now just think, oh, yeah, it's super easy. It's not. It's anything but, which is why it's really incredible that they were also able to do it in Tampa in his first year there. 855-212-4227. Ramil's in Atlanta. Ramil, welcome to After Hours. What comes to mind when I say Tom Brady?
Good morning, Amy. The first word that comes to mind for me is owl, because they kill falcons.
Now, that I didn't expect to hear. Yeah, I don't know how long it takes to get over something like that, the Falcons loss.
You never get over that, but that's just more part of Georgia sports history that we kind of getting used to now.
Okay, but how do you feel coming off of the Hawks run and the fact that they've got a good young core and now they've given Trae Young this fat extension, so they're building for the future?
I think they got somewhat a little lucky this year. I mean, they did good to beat the Knicks. I mean, the Knicks are a little overrated. Expect them to beat something like that to happen again with them one against the 76ers. And the Knicks will hurt a lot this year, too. So I think they're still maybe the fourth or fifth best team in the East. I don't expect them to come out to eat no time soon.
But it's a good building block, right? It's a good start.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. But I think them having this big year this year is going to have the fans expecting too much next year. And they going to be disappointed, I think.
Man, is it all of you Atlanta fans that you expect disappointment? You wait for the other shoe to drop?
You have to expect the worst. If not, you're going to get too held up like you do with Georgia football every year. So you at least want to be like, I'm expecting the worst of something good after you can at least feel good about it.
Now, see, I feel like that would suck as a sports fan. I get it. I mean, I understand that some of my teams were bad for a really long time, but I always had this ridiculous optimism every year. Call me crazy, call me naive, but I still go into every season thinking, this is it. This is going to be the year.
But hey, being a Georgia fan, especially a UGA fan, you don't have to just feel that way. The media feels that way, too. So every year they're going to do it, and of course they disappoint us every year.
This could be the year, Ramil. This could be the year.
I've heard it my whole life.
I know. I can't help it. All right. Good to talk to you. Have a great day in Atlanta.
All right. You too. Thanks for taking my call.
855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line. You know what? Let's sneak in another one. Patrick's in Massachusetts. Welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing, Amy? Great show.
Thank you.
So first I'll just say I'm a Patriots fan, lifelong since 79. I was following them when they had like 8,000 showing up in Foxborough with Tippett and Steve Grogan. So when no one was going, I've been a fan for like 30 years. But there's a difference. There's two differences. One, he's the best quarterback ever, probably the best player ever. But once he left, the way he left, he's dead to me.
Ooh.
I'm a Patriots fan. I'm loyal to the team.
Right.
He sold his house. He told everybody he was selling his house, and he knew he was gone. And his trainer sold his house, and he knew he was gone. And he cleaned out his suite at Gillette, and he knew he was gone. And he didn't tell the team he was gone, but he knew he was gone. He could have done it in a professional way and said, hey, I really appreciate you guys drafting me. We've been great for each other. But the way he went about doing it means he's dead to me.
Mm. So you think he should have told the team before making any of those other moves?
Of course. He knew he was leaving. His trainer sold his house. He sold his house. There was all kinds of stuff going on around Boston that was signals that he was leaving. It's like everybody else in high school knows that you're breaking up with your girlfriend except her.
Are you sure? Let me just, Patrick, let me just ask you. Are you sure he never told Bob Kraft or Coach Belichick, he never gave them a heads up?
No, because I think both of them would have made a move.
A move
I mean,
like?
I don't know for sure. I don't work for the organization.
A move like what?
I think they would have made a move. I think they would have, you know, changed up their draft. It would have given them 3 or 4 months to plan something different instead of just dragging it out and dragging it out. And everybody around Boston and New England sees all these little moves that are getting made. And you're still hoping, like you said, every year, your team, whoever that is, I mean, you're hoping that they're going to, you know, win the Super Bowl or win a championship. We're all hoping he's going to stay. But how many times does the red flag have to go up and you can't ignore it? At some point, you go, you know, this guy's selling his house. His trainer is selling his house. He cleaned out his suite at Gillette. And there's a bunch of other stuff going on with his wife. They bought a house outside the city.
Okay. I mean, I understand what you're saying. My only thing is I don't know that he needed to give more notice to the team because, and I don't know who heard about it first, but he announced, if I remember correctly, he announced right after everything shut down during the at the beginning of the pandemic, which was mid-March. If I remember correctly, it was that week right when everything was shutting down. So it's not as though the team did not have time to prepare for his departure. Also, I'm quite sure Belichick could see the writing on the wall and probably knew. In fact, may have wanted to move on from Tom Brady, actually. So I don't think he left the team in a lurch. I mean, they had time before the draft. They had at least 6 weeks, if not longer, before the draft. And, you know, they couldn't end up finding a free agent. It was just one of those situations where they were kind of left being the last team without a chair to sit in that game of musical chairs. But I appreciate your passion as a Patriots fan, and I agree that most people do cheer for the uniform, not necessarily the guy. Thank you, Patrick. I appreciate it.
All right.
Dead to him as a Patriots fan. Tom Brady is dead to him, except there he was back in the Super Bowl. The ghost of Tom Brady was still winning. 855-212-4227. We have got Simone Biles on balance beam in mere moments in Tokyo, and so we're following that via social media. And it's Tom Brady's birthday on Tuesday, so we're being goofy. What is the first word that comes to mind when you hear the name Tom Brady other than GOAT?
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
It's fairly impressive what a lot of these new faces in new places have done post trade deadline. So here is Eduardo Escobar, who makes a great first impression on the fans in Milwaukee. First home game as a Brewer. Not only the home run that you hear there on the Brewers radio network, but also has a triple. And the Brewers, first place in the NL Central, defeat the Pirates. Now, we had talked about home runs for Anthony Rizzo, Javi Baez, of course, Chris Bryant with the Giants. And now they're going to try to settle into a rhythm. It wasn't Chris Bryant, but maybe there's this jolt of energy and excitement around the Giants, who, of course, are trying to maintain that lead in what is a very difficult race, a very difficult and tight space in the NL West. And against Arizona, they had to go into extra innings on Monday.
Swing and Buster rips one down the left field line. Fair ball. It rolls into the left field corner. Coming around third, Crawford, he'll score. Heading for second is Posey with a stand-up double. And the Giants are back ahead 9-8.
John Miller on the Giants radio network with 3 runs in the 10th. They were able to get by Arizona. This one went back and forth, a lot of runs scored. In fact, 19 overall on 22 hits. But if you're checking out the standings, and this is what's so impressive about the Giants, they can beat you a variety of ways. They're now at 67 wins, so by far the most wins in Major League Baseball. Their closest competitors in terms of overall best record, well, the Dodgers, who have 64 wins. The Brewers also have 64. And then in the American League, both the Rays, who did lose, and the Astros, who lost back-to-back games, they're sitting on 64 wins as well. So the Giants maybe have come out of nowhere. They don't have a lot of holdovers, just a couple from their World Series runs a few years ago, but they continue to hold off all challenges, specifically in their own division. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Tuesday is Tom Brady's 44th birthday. The man has had quite the offseason, and he's back to his familiar ways now with the Buccaneers, says he feels even more comfortable in his second training camp. And, of course, this training camp is nothing nothing like 2020, but that means watch out, NFL, as the Buccaneers, you know this, have returned all 22 starters from the Super Bowl and are absolutely the team to beat moving forward. And with Brady's window closing, now we can laugh at that. I mean, I make jokes about the guy playing until he's 50, but he has said 45. He's got a 2-year contract. He's just now turning 44, so it would make sense that the Buccaneers, as well as the players themselves, so not just the front office, but the players themselves, who many cases took less money to stay in Tampa, they want to capitalize on what is lightning in a bottle right now for the Buccaneers. But we're asking you, other than GOAT, because that's too freaking easy, and we don't do the easy way around here. That's blah. Be more creative. Other than GOAT, what's the first word that comes to mind, or the phrase that comes to mind when you hear the name Tom Brady? We've had your standards: Giselle, winner, cheater, deflate gate. Some of you are just taking that road, and that's fine if that's the first word that comes to mind. But I like the unique one. So the ones that are creative and original are the ones that I'm sharing on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. And then our phone number, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. He definitely transcends the sport of football. And he's good for football. Why? Because he brings eyeballs and earballs to the game. You don't generally miss a game in which Tom Brady's playing. I felt the same way about Drew Brees last year, knowing this is maybe the end of his career. I wanted to be sure that I caught those games, especially between Brady and Brees, the Buccaneers and the Saints. And so Brady brings more attention to the game. Now, I know at times he and Roger Goodell have definitely clashed and butted heads. But because Brady has helped to set this otherworldly standard with 10 Super Bowl appearances with his two teams, in 21 seasons. What? We may never see it again. Because he's been part of creating this standard that's unheard of, that no one would believe if they hadn't actually seen it. Well, it gives the rest of the NFL something to aspire to. And I like that. What are goats all about? Oh, well, they eat anything, but... He doesn't eat anything. He eats anything with avocado. What is it about someone setting a high standard like this? Well, it forces everyone else to raise their game, to raise their level of play. And Brady has certainly done that in the AFC East, now in the NFC South. Teams can't do what they did before because it's not good enough. And I think that's great. It's forced everyone else in the NFL to get that much better. And to be that much more determined and committed because he set a standard. So 855-212-4227, also on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and on our Facebook page. We are even now monitoring Twitter because Simone Biles, Suni Lee, the balance beam finals underway in Tokyo. They're doing these combined event finals. And so they're doing some men's events. I think two men's events and one women's event. Don't quote me on that. But there's also men's gymnastics going on as well. But this is the last day of gymnastics. And I've seen not only video, but photos of Simone warming up and walking into the arena. So she's definitely there. She's getting ready to compete. And I'm a little nervous for her, I'll be honest. Hoping for joy and peace and strength, of course. Yes, a medal would be amazing and it would be triumphant. But I feel like as someone who has listened to everything she said and has kind of ridden this roller coaster with her over the past week, what I mostly want is for her to be safe and to enjoy it. She's worked so hard. I want her to remember why she loves gymnastics and to go out there with all of that joy. And I hope that we see it on her face. So we'll give you updates as we have them. I promise we'll deliver the spoiler alert first. I'll yell at you so you know. The men's basketball team is into the semifinals, and actually Italy and France are playing right now live in men's basketball, but it was just a few hours ago that Kevin Durant led the way. It's fun to see all these superstars together and watch them try to figure out their roles. Durant with 29. He's the all-time leading scorer in U.S. Olympic history. Damian Lillard only has 11. Drew Holiday has a dozen. He was in that starting lineup. But yeah, there's a bazillion different ways that the U.S. can win. The win, though, is the most important thing, and it was a victory over Spain.
We're a group of really talented players, and you never know where it's going to come from. You know, you got to be ready for those opportunities so you can help the team. And it could be anybody. And tonight, you know, KD had a huge game. He carried us through this one.
In these games, every team has people like that that they depend on to come through, and he certainly did.
He certainly did. He certainly does. And I made this point earlier. We did not see the Brooklyn Nets and KD go the distance in the playoffs, right? The goal was to get to the East Finals and then to the NBA Finals. They didn't play as many games as they would have liked to, and KD missed some time with injury, so he's relatively fresh. He's not as exhausted as he might be coming off of a full season in which he didn't miss some time. I know he would have preferred to play, but it's good to see him in his comfort zone. So the United States into the semifinals after a victory over Spain. Slovenia is also there. Italy and France are playing right now. And how about heavyweights in soccer? Mexico and Brazil are late in the first half. Actually, it's halftime. They're scoreless. They just went to the half. They're scoreless there in Tokyo. And Simone Biles, Suni Lee, competing on the balance beam also even now. So we're going to give you updates as we have them. Good morning to you. Thanks for joining us. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.